At approximately 5 o'clock that morning, January 28th, 121 Rangers climbed into the canvas-topped beds of their GI trucks, and the convoy pulled out of Colosseo, aiming east toward a ripening sun. At the head of the column, in a staff jeep, rode Colonel Musi, tobacco smoke pouring from his pipe, his Colt 45 tucked in a sidearm holster. Something about the colonel looked different, and it took a while for the men to figure out what it was. He'd shaved off his pencil mustache, the one he took such meticulous care of. "Too damn much trouble for this assignment," he told one of his men. Getting rid of it left Musi with one less thing to worry about. After a pit stop in Dagupan, the convoy headed southeast through the central plain. The men rode on a slender highway pitted by bombs and artillery shells, one of the main arteries that ultimately fed into Manila. They sped through flat sugar country, bordered on either side by jagged mountains, the Zambales off to the right, the Cordillera Central to the left. The Rangers tried to catnap in their trucks, as the lazy vistas of Pangasinan province spooled past. Nipa shacks, cane fields, green volcanoes puncturing the morning mist. At this early hour, the road was empty, save for a few straggling refugees on Kalesa ponies, moving as fast as they could to get out of war's way. By the time the Rangers crossed the Agno River, it was already quite hot and humid, and the skies swarmed with American fighter planes. On the horizon, a half-dozen plumes of smoke curled toward the pink sky, targets still smoldering from the night's bombing runs. General Yamashita, it seemed, was giving up the central plain without much of a fight. The Japanese were running scared now, making a ragged retreat toward Baguio in the north, where Yamashita was now establishing his headquarters. The might of America was bearing down on them, the might of Pittsburgh and Detroit, the hardware of a new world hegemon, finally and fully aroused. Without the option of surrender, the Japanese army had no choice but to head for the terraced mountains and jungles of northern Luzon, some of the most impenetrable terrain in the Philippines, where upland tribes were said to hunt the occasional human head and kill wild boars with darts. Here, in these highland rainforests, Yamashita and his 250,000 depleted troops would hang on as long as their endurance and battle savvy would allow. For the Japanese, it would be Bataan in reverse, with the same sort of desperate battle logic the Americans had employed there. Extort every advantage from the geography, hang on past the point of starvation, and then await inevitable doom. Although Yamashita was conceding the central plain, he did not intend to let the retreat devolve into a rout. A large, well-coordinated withdrawal is perhaps the trickiest maneuver in battle. Every war college professor knows that it's virtually impossible for an army to defend itself well while moving backwards. Yet if any Japanese general was capable of executing this ungainly backpedal, it was Tomoyuki Yamashita, the unflinching commander dubbed the Tiger of Malaya, for his dazzlingly swift triumph over British forces in Singapore. Rather than throw up a massive line of defense across the central plain, Yamashita planned only to delay the inevitable American advance toward Manila, while protecting his own forces as they retreated along two north-south arteries, the Rizal and San Jose highways. To accomplish this task, Yamashita intended to concentrate troops in just a few places strategically situated along these major roads, so as to remain in control of his evacuation routes until the retreat to the northern mountains was completed. One of these strategic places was the provincial capital of Cabanatuan. With a population of 100,000, Cabanatuan, meaning a place of rocks, was the largest and most important town in Nueva Ecija province. The city was located just 4 miles west of the POW camp. Even now, as the convoy of Rangers hurtled toward their designated jump-off point, more than 7,000 Japanese troops were massing at Cabanatuan City, with two more divisions on the way. Most of the Japanese were bivouacking in the city, but others were using the camp itself as a place to regroup for the night, sleeping in the empty barracks and dressing their wounds before returning to the front. The camp had become an enemy way station.